Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine and a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. The Gospel of the Lord. The tremendous loss of blood through Jesus' 5 wounds, 195 plus scourge marks, the crown of thorns, the exposure to air, the tremendous amount of work just to breathe, would have produced an extreme physical thirst. But Jesus, who had suffered so much up to this point, without a cry enunciated this need. He who formed the waters on the second day of creation, who had gone without water for 40 days and night in the desert, who had changed 180 gallons of water into precious wine, who had said to the woman at the well that he could implant within her a spring of living water welling up to eternal life, now says, "I am thirsty." Earlier, he had rejected an anesthetic sedative of wine mixed with myrrh. Now he asked for a drink, and they used a hyssop branch to present him a sponge soaked with sour wine. Mary, John, Jesus' aunt, Mary, wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene had nothing to give. The soldiers were the only ones who could. They had some coarse wine or vinegar, which they put on a hyssop branch and lifted it up to his tongue. Why did Jesus ask now? St. John tells us, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." He accepted it to fulfill the prophecy. He would reward this last act of charity. No one who did such a thing would lose his reward, he had promised. If we just give a cup of cold water to somebody in his name, that person would never lose the prize. But this scripture that he was fulfilling was a continuation of Psalm 22, which we heard in the last word. "My mouth is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaw. You lay me in the dust of death." Hyssop was the same branch that dipped in the blood of the Paschal lamb to sprinkle the lintels and posts of the Jews in Egypt. God instructed through Moses, "Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and touch the lintel and the 2 doorposts with the blood that is in the basin." It was the blood of the Passover lamb that saved the people of God. It was the blood of Jesus that was to save the world from sin. The very mention of the word hyssop would be enough to connect Jesus to the Passover lamb and to what he was about to do. But there was another psalm that prophesied even more deeply this thirst of the suffering servant on the cross. There was one more prophecy to be fulfilled. Psalm 69. "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there's no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Many are those who would destroy me, my enemies who accuse me falsely." And then he goes on. "It's zeal for your house that has consumed me. Yet the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. When I humbled my soul with fasting, they insulted me for doing so. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I'm the subject of gossip for those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, and an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me. Draw near to me, redeem me, set me free from my enemy. You know the insults I'm receiving, my shame and dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Insults have broken my heart so that I'm in despair. I looked for mercy, but found there was none. For comforters, but found no one. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. I am lowly and in pain, but let your salvation, O God, protect me. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns or hoofs. Let the oppressed see it and be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive, for the Lord hears the needy and doesn't despise those who are in bonds. We honestly cannot tell from the gospel account whether the vinegar was offered as a comfort or to aggravate his pain. Psalm 69 implies the latter. But this psalm, like Psalm 22, finishes with praise and trust to the Lord. His thirst was fundamentally for God and for accomplishing what God was thirsting for. Dives, the rich man in the parable with Lazarus, thirsted in hell and begged Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger in water to just bring him some comfort. Jesus was now, in a sense, sharing in that thirst of the damned before they are damned. It was also very much a thirst for souls. Just like he had said to the Samaritan woman, "Give me to drink." So he says to all, "Sitio, I thirst." He wants to exchange with us the living water. But we open ourselves up to the exchange through being merciful to him as he is thirsty. His desire is to quench our thirst with himself. Like someone who truly loves another, his greater desire is just that the other allow him to love. St. Jose Maria once said in a homily, on the cross, Jesus said, "I thirst." He thirsts for us. He thirsts for our love. He thirsts for our soul. He thirsts for all the souls we ought to be bringing to him along the way of the cross, which is the way to immortality and heavenly glory. In two places, Jesus describes what the living water he is and wants to give is. What he thirsts to make us thirst for. What he thirsts to give us to quench our deepest existential needs. In one place, he identifies the living water as the presence of the Holy Spirit. In another, he identifies it as his own presence through the Eucharist. But we know that whenever one of the divine persons is present in a soul, the other two persons in the one God are likewise there. The two references also show us how that living water quenches our deepest thirst. St. John's Gospel, when Jesus prophesied how the bread that he would give would far surpass the manna of the desert given to the Jews, he stated, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them." The indwelling of the Blessed Trinity occurs through the sacraments. When we who are thirsty come to Jesus, who fills our hearts with his living water. This reality begins with the life-giving and living waters of baptism, but continues in every sacramental encounter, most particularly in the Eucharist, when we receive that source of life-giving water within our bodies and souls, and that geyser starts blowing. Elsewhere in St. John's Gospel, Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow not a trickle, but rivers of living water." And St. John commented, "He said this about the Spirit which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit because Jesus wasn't yet glorified." The presence of the Holy Spirit within us is what St. Paul describes in his letter to the Romans. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Jesus wishes to give himself and send us his Holy Spirit, not just for ourselves, but for all those for whom he was dying. That's what Jesus was always thirsting for in life and puts in this dramatic, merciful exclamation point on the cross. The Missionaries of Charity, as many of you know, have this word of Jesus posted next to the crucifix in every chapel of the Institute throughout the world. And the mission of the Sisters of soon-to-be St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta is to quench the infinite thirst of Jesus for souls. The infinite thirst of Jesus to love those for whom he entered our world, lived, died, and rose. The question for us on this Good Friday is, when Jesus says, "I thirst like this," what do we give to his thirst? Do we give him our desire, our love? Do we allow him to love us as he knows we most need? Or do we give him vinegar and gall? The Lord asks us to give him something to drink. And what he asks fundamentally is for us to share his holy thirst. Pope Benedict and Jesus of Nazareth said, "This scene can hardly fail to remind us of the song of the vineyard in the 5th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. Here God brings his lament before Israel. He had planted a vineyard on a fruitful height and had taken every possible care over it. He looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. The vineyard of Israel fails to yield for God the noble fruit of justice, grounded in love. It yields the sour grapes of man, who is concerned only for himself. It yields vinegar instead of wine. God's lament, which we hear in the song of the prophet, is brought to fulfillment as the vinegar is proffered to the thirsting Savior. Just as Isaiah's song portrays God suffering over his people in a way that far transcends the historical moment, so too the scene of the cross far transcends the hour of Jesus' death. It's not only Israel, but the church, it's we ourselves who repeatedly respond to God's bountiful love with vinegar, with a sour heart that's unable to perceive God's love. I thirst. This cry of Jesus is addressed, Pope Benedict says, to every single one of us. St. Augustine, in his explanation of the word "I thirst," says that it shows not only the desire that Christ had for drink, but still more the desire with which he was inflamed that his enemies should believe in him and be saved. Christ thirsted for the glory of God the Father and for the salvation of men and women. And we ought to likewise thirst for that same glory, for the honor of Christ, for our salvation and the salvation of others. How often Jesus prayed Psalm 42. Doubtless it was on his mind on the cross. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul thirsts for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? Jesus not only was about to behold the Father's face anew, Jesus had become the incarnate face of the mercy of that Father thirsting to pour out that mercy on us. Jesus said we would be judged on whether we give to him when he is thirsty or not. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And the way we quench his thirst is by allowing him to give us his living water, to lead us besides restful waters, to make our cup overflow. In short, the way we quench his thirst is to allow him to mercify us. Let's quench his thirst for our souls by giving our bodies, souls, minds, and strength to him, and allowing him so to pour out inside of us that fount of mercy, that it might overflow through all our pores to save the world.